From UFOs to psychic powers and government conspiracies, history is riddled with unexplained events. You can turn back now or learn the stuff they don't want you to know. A production of iHeartRadio.
Hello, welcome back to the show. My name is Matt.
My name is Noel.
They called me Ben. We're joined, as always, with our super producer, Dylan the Tennessee Pal Fagan. Most importantly, you are you. You are here. That makes this the stuff they don't want you to know. Fellow conspiracy realists, if you are tuning in to our strange news program the evening it publishes, let us be the first to welcome you to Monday, June 9th, 2025. Oh, we're still at the beginning of June. Guys, do we have any life lessons from our time spent in May?
I know. No, I know it had to be May. That's all I know.
Just try your absolute best to stay away from Georgia pollen, because my God, well, we went through a May and an April.
It just covers everything it touches, doesn't it?
It's almost as though the climate is changing.
A little bit.
Or maybe we're getting old. I had a little life advice for anybody. This may come in handy for a certain percentage of our demographic. This is not news, but folks, if you are doing a persona in an unfamiliar situation, everybody thinks about appearance, but be very careful with your voice and your cadence, because I got made.
Yeah, made. You told us that off air. It's always cool to get voice clocked. Happened to me as well. I was getting a tattoo. And guys, did you see that Joey Fatone of NSYNC, speaking of It's Gotta Be May, is shilling for a Red Lobster now?
What?
Yeah,
I did not.
Yeah, man.
Great.
I saw, yeah. You know how all the social medias of these big restaurant chains try to get real cute? And so they're doing a campaign where it looks like a Tiger Beat magazine cover, but it's Joey Fatone just housing fried shrimp and just shilling for $19.99 endless shrimp for Red Lobster.
I love that. And you know, those chains need the help right now. We didn't have this for Strange News, but McDonald's has suffered the worst U.S. sales decline in 5 years, and they're blaming it on anti-American sentiment and not the fact that the ice cream's always broken and the food's not that great.
Well, I think they fixed the ice cream problem. They made some
which
new
is a
deal.
Conspiracy.
Yeah, well,
yeah,
yes,
with the third party monopoly.
Exactly.
Vendor.
But also, I don't know if you go to I go to McDonald's every now and then, just when near my house, and they really are pushing this. Like, are you going to use your points today? And I just I don't know. I think most people probably say no, but they ask you verbally every single time. So that seems a little desperate to me. That's all I'm saying.
Yeah. I mean, because then massive data collection can become an entirely new revenue stream. Also, I didn't know this, guys. Remember Rob Thomas? He's a fan of a show that we work with called Wrongful Conviction.
Oh, cool. Of course he is.
Just mentioning people in that musician milieu. But maybe, look, we have a lot that we're going to touch on. We're going to talk some dangerous stuff about Disney. We are going to have some updates from jail videos and the FBI, some talk about our favorite New York City mayor. Before we do any of that, maybe we pause for a word from our sponsors and then follow up on this concept of mass collection of data as a revenue stream.
I'm here for it.
This is an iHeart podcast.
Horsepower, 0 to 60 times. These are among the benchmarks when considering a new vehicle. But Lexus believes there are some things, immeasurable things, that matter more. Awe, exhilaration, joy. How a cabin feels like it was crafted with you in mind. The way an engine note resonates with your soul. Because a car that doesn't make you feel something is a car that stops short of amazing. That's the standard of amazing. Lexus, experience amazing.
This is Danielle Fishel from Pod Meets World. Okay, so Amazon Prime is the easiest and fastest way to get anything delivered. But there's so much more. Whatever you love, that's what Prime is. Prime helps you get more out of your passions and even discover new ones. My kids have recently gotten to the age where we can no longer hide video games from them. I know, Pandora's box has opened. Well, with Prime, I not only get the games they want fast and easy, I get suggestions for what other games might be perfect for them. And with access to Prime Gaming, there are free PC games every month just waiting for them. From streaming to shopping, it's on Prime. Visit Amazon.com/Prime to get more out of whatever you're into.
Hey, what's up? It's Wanda Sykes. I'm here to remind you about something super important, getting your breast screened. Because trust me, your breast health should be a priority. Early detection for breast cancer can change the game, which is why you should visit yourattentionplease.com to learn more. And do me a favor, if you've already had a breast cancer screening, remind your friends and family to visit yourattentionplease.com too. We gotta look out for our girls.
On WhatsApp, no one can see or hear your personal messages, whether it's a voice call, message, or sending a password. To WhatsApp, it's all just this. So whether you're sharing the streaming password in the family chat or trading those late-night voice messages that could basically become a podcast, your personal messages stay between you, your friends, and your family. No one else, not even us. WhatsApp, message privately.
And we have returned. Our first non-McDonald's story this evening. You may have heard of a little group called Palantir, P-A-L-A-N-T-R. Now, we've talked about these guys a little bit in the past, correct?
Mm-hmm. I clearly didn't get the memo because I really didn't realize exactly how evil they were until you brought this up just now, Ben.
Well, their actions are evil for sure. And we were talking offline and you said, yeah, the stock is actually doing very well.
I didn't know. Someone just, I've got a couple stock friends that were just like, you should get in on this thing. It's, you know, whatever data, you know, brokering or whatever. And like, I just knew the basics of it, but now I'm feeling very on the fence about holding this. So I may just let it go, even though, yes, Ben, it is doing very well.
Well, it may be because they're signing more and more quite lucrative government contracts. The headline here, we could go to the New Republic for this one. This went live on May 30th, but people already knew it was happening. The current U.S. presidential administration is tapping the tech giant Palantir to create a master database on every single American. And this article we're recommending comes from the journalist Hafiz Rashid. But before we get into this particular dystopia, let's go ahead and note a brief background of Palantir. So Palantir is what you would call a data and analytics company, similar to Cambridge Analytica. Check out our episodes on that. It was co-founded by the current president and a big campaign donor named Peter Thiel. And what they're doing right now is really streamlining and aggregating. If you live in the U.S., you are already, we joke about being on a list, right? But you are already on so many lists. Not all of them are bad. There's just this panoply of government databases that already have information about, you know, your bank account number, your medical claims, disabilities, student loan debts. It's just not in one central place. So now Palantir, the stock price might go up because they are going to create a master database. This comes to us from the New York Times as well, which originally broke the story. So let's make sure to shout out the journalist Shira Frankel and Aaron Krolik. This dates back to March when the current administration signed an executive order. The EO, the superpower of the president, said, look, federal government, share data across agencies. And this is worrisome for a lot of people. Before we go into more of the nitty gritty, what's your initial reaction? Do you think a private
tech companies should be tapped to create this master list of everyone's everything?
No. But boy, is that line gotten blurred between private and public, yeah, lately.
All right, so that's one vote against.
Yeah, well, I'm for it, guys.
What? No, one vote for hot take.
I think it's very strange the way all of this is happening and being rolled out. Because it's government money to the tune of what? Almost $800 million, like, or it's close to that. Like $800 million.
Yeah, that's counting. It's a little over because there was a DOD contract for $795 million that Palantir got. And then before then, since the beginning of the current administration, Palantir got more than a little north of $113 million.
Good.
So they're making bank.
Okay, so they're taking in all this money, right? They're a private company. They have a piece of software, right? That basically is this data aggregation thing, holding all of this data, separating it out, being able to search it, right? Mm-hmm. And
Foundry,
use it.
It's called.
That's, what is it?
Foundry.
Okay, so they've got this thing. So theoretically, what they're doing, all they're doing is just going out and talking to the other agencies, right? Just saying, hey, you should use our stuff too, guys. Mm-hmm. Department of Homeland Security, you're already using our stuff. Thanks. And they've got a couple others, right? But then they're going to all the other places like Medicare, Selective Service. So yeah. It is, I don't know, it doesn't feel like the nefarious act of building this giant database. It feels like a private company just trying to get their version of Adobe software in everywhere, you know?
All right. So that's a vote for then. So you're a nation divided.
You're just saying it's not much different than a lot of third-party companies whose bread and butter are like these suites of tools that giant corporations end up going all in behind. Like
they want everybody to have the enterprise version. Mm-hmm.
That's
right.
Right. That's like right. Microsoft does not care if you buy an Xbox. You know what I mean? That's not where they make their money. But
well, how many of those companies use like Windows, right?
Right, exactly. How many companies use, you know, as you said, enterprise software? Sort of like a lot of auto or vehicle or construction manufacturers make money off fleet deals, right?
Yeah.
Make money off government contracts. You know, it's not gonna screw them over if you wait a year to buy your Camry.
Yes.
Right?
Oh, just on that tip. I'm sorry, I don't mean to derail us.
Yeah, please.
Something that's weird that I never really thought about, guys. Most vehicles that are, you know, past a certain year have a little thing attached to the rearview mirror that opens garages. And almost all of them are the exact same thing.
Shh, Flipper Zero has entered the chat. You're going to be cool.
It's really creepy. It's weird because you can program each one of those things to anything that can project a signal out that opens garage doors. Mm-hmm. And it's all the same tech.
And the active monitoring right now, insurance companies, privatized car insurance companies are giving people opt-in methods to save a little scratch as long as you agree to constant monitoring and surveillance. I'm anti-surveillance, and I think the argument that if you're doing nothing wrong, you should have nothing to worry about is intellectually fraudulent. It is purposely misleading. So how long before it becomes an opt-out thing that you pay extra for, or will people simply skip that step and every car manufactured after insert year here is required to have that constant monitoring for security and safety purposes? You guys, security and safety. The Waymos are already expanding through Atlanta.
Are they really?
Are they really?
Yeah, I saw one.
Oh, no.
I saw it in the wild. And you know what? It almost screwed up at a crosswalk. I'm sure the technology will get better.
Well, that's the thing, though, that's interesting. I heard a conversation on a podcast or a YouTube show recently where Waymo's been at this for a long time and they're still not great. Whereas Tesla is about to unleash their cyber taxis on the world and they're not using infrared or whatever it is, laser technology. They're just using low pixel count cameras, and they haven't really road tested these, and we already know the problems with their self-driving stuff and how self-driving has been promised, and even their flagship vehicles and never fully rolled out as self-driving. So Elon Musk, like in an effort to appease stockholders or, you know, finally keep a promise, is doing this with the cyber taxis. And to your point, Ben, the Waymos, there's always stories coming out about how they're not great and they use much higher tech and have been testing for much longer on actual roads. So,
and in their defense, I don't like the phrase devil's advocate. I did rewatch the film.
It's good.
The monologues are great. Yeah. The ending needs some work,
sure, but
the,
it's still fun.
I love it. I love it. I got an award for doing that monologue years back, but the point I want to make in their defense is that, you know, we have to remember it took humans thousands and thousands of years of trying to fly and then immediately dying for someone to invent a plane. So maybe we're a plane that didn't kill you automatically. So maybe we're seeing another progression in that way. But we've talked about the danger of autonomous vehicles, not necessarily just in terms of technology, but in terms of what humans do with that technology, that surveillance, that ability to shut down a grid during a protest such that no one can drive away, right? Or drive toward a situation or a conflict. This is one of the big concerns. This Palantir thing happens with a context wherein people are legitimate US residents and being deported, right? Even with guilt by association, like a family that recently got deported, we're seeing the massive unforced error, we would call that in Go, the unforced error of creating brain drain in the United States by deporting international students who legally reside there. We're also seeing the Palantir program happening in step with the recent report that ICE has accessed a nationwide license plate network, which means there's further surveillance by ICE.
Well, we also, I mean, I don't know if you guys have ever gotten one of those robo tickets where they just snap your license plate and then you get something in the mail. I mean, that tech freaks me out and I find it inconvenient. And boy, is it ever hard to contest. And there's going to come a point where these things are impossible to contest, not to mention the way ICE is scooping up people. Contesting is sort of not even part of that deal, at least as far as some of the people in power would like it.
And I want to stick. Yeah, I hear you. I want to stick with this ICE story because the news will probably get exaggerated or get spin depending upon who is reporting it or what source. Folks who are supportive of ICE are going to say, you know, this is ensuring safety. This is helping us with new tools to find the bad guys. Folks who are opponents of ICE or the current methods of that organization are going to say this is further government overreach, and whatever the justifications may be, it will be used for something nefarious or perhaps indeed unconstitutional in the future. So it's important to know the facts. ICE has indirectly accessed an outfit called Flock Safety. And they're doing this by mass requesting searches through local and state law enforcement agencies. Just like the past year, there have been more than 4,000 immigration-related lookups, which means someone doesn't necessarily even have a moving violation. They just get their license clocked. And now imagine that feeding in to the Palantir Eye of Sauron, right? And now imagine all the variables you can use to target someone. You know, okay, first it was people who were illegally in the United States. That part is true. But then it becomes people who are not US citizens, but are legal residents of the United States, like kids on a student visa. And then what comes next? Do we get to people who are part of the culture war demographic targets, like LGBTQ? Does it stop? What happens to the professors, right? Does it go further to the professors? How long do we have, you guys, until we're podcasters? They'll get Robert Evans first, 100%.
Yeah. Well, at least before us. Do we think the ISPs and like Verizons and T-Mobiles of the world are also caught up in all this stuff already because of the previous stuff we've talked about?
100%.
So right now, it's like if you drive a vehicle, your vehicle gets scanned by this flock safety thing. If you've got a license plate, even if you don't have a license plate, you've got a specific dealer plate or something, it's got numbers on it that can be tracked. Right. Then if you're using your cellular device, that's being tracked.
Which people are using for data all the time. So there's tons of stuff flowing through those networks, right?
Well, then that number is probably connected to one or more of those databases you're talking about, Ben. So then it literally is aggregated everything. It's what's that movie we always talk about? Minority Report.
That's the minority. Yeah, the pre-crime calculation. Yeah, shout out with DARPA. And the thing is, we don't need cinematic sci-fi dystopia to explain nefarious actions as they occur. Dystopian society grows gradually. One time, one day, you rarely get a sudden moment of revelation. You turn around one day and you're older than you thought you would be, and you don't recognize the place you live in anymore. It's not, that's how it happens.
Yeah, it's not how we experience time. It's just kind of like a frog boiling kind of situation,
That'd be terrifying if there was a dystopia button. Nuclear war is the dystopia, but other than that,
it's defined by future historians.
And that effect or that moment is often achieved in fiction or science fiction with the narrative device of time travel, where someone steps out of a portal and everything's all effed up. You know what I mean?
Yep.
But it usually takes the later work of scholars and historians and whomever owns the current prevailing zeitgeist or narrative, it takes them to look back and say, this is the moment. Franz Ferdinand. When Franz Ferdinand was assassinated.
Oh, I thought you were talking about the band. Okay, guys.
When the Black Hand assassinated Franz Ferdinand, newspaper reports at the time were, of course, running the story, but they were running other stories too.
Yep.
There was a guy who was like, no, the way the world's going to end is all these people wanting balustrades. The balustrade industry simply can't meet the demand of all these people buying balustrades. And someone was like, I don't know. Both sides are correct. Yeah.
Archduke kind of became the hot button thing through revisionist history, or rather like an assessment of history and trying to boil it down to an understandable narrative, right?
Yeah, functions thereof, And if we're talking about, I don't want to go too long at this, if we're talking about those apocalyptic moments, one thing we've seen often in this show is not just apocalyptic moments defined by human society, but defined by the actions of the natural world. So if we continue this podcast for the next 15 human years, we may have a follow-up to a study that recently published that says toxic fungi, your choices are your own, will threaten millions of lives within that time frame, within 15 years. This is, of course, on par with other predictions. Whenever I read news like this, guys, I just can't help but think of that time everybody told us we were crazy and controversial for pointing out neonicotinoids' damaging effects on honeybee populations. And it turned out we were right. Or the people who did the studies were right. They were just ignored. So if you want to read more about that, go to Popular Mechanics, excellent article by Darren Orff, who's citing the latest studies in his work, An Apocalypse of Toxic Fungi Could Threaten Millions of Lives Within 15 Years. We're going to pause for a word from our sponsors. We want to hear your thoughts on mass surveillance, human political apocalypses, or natural, still human created apocalypses. Have a great time at the ad break. We'll be back with more strange news. Noel, can we go to Disney?
Oh boy, let's do it. Let's go to Disneyland.
Horsepower, 0 to 60 times. These are among the benchmarks when considering a new vehicle. But Lexus believes there are some things, immeasurable things, that matter more. Awe, exhilaration, joy. How a cabin feels like it was crafted with you in mind. The way an engine note resonates with your soul. Because a car that doesn't make you feel something is a car that stops short of amazing. That's the standard of amazing. Lexus. Experience amazing.
Let's be real. Life happens. Kids spill. Pets shed. And accidents are inevitable. That's why you need a washable sofa that can keep up. Our sofas are fully machine washable, inside and out, so you can say goodbye to stains and hello to worry-free living. Made with liquid and stain-resistant fabrics, they're kid-proof, pet-friendly, and built for everyday life. Plus, changeable fabric covers let you refresh your sofa whenever you want. Need flexibility? Our modular design lets you rearrange your sofa anytime to fit your space, whether it's a growing family room or a cozy apartment. Plus, they're earth-friendly and trusted by over 200,000 happy customers. Starting at just $699, it's time to upgrade to a stress-free, mess-proof sofa. Visit washablesofas.com today and save. That's washablesofas.com. Offers are subject to change and certain restrictions may apply.
This is Danielle Fishel from Pod Meets World. What do you think of when you hear Amazon Prime? Delivery trucks outside your home? Your favorite streaming shows? Of course. But there's so much more. Whatever you love, that's what Prime is. Prime helps you get more out of whatever passions you're into, and it helps you discover new ones. There's nothing I find more fun than falling into a rabbit hole of options, whether it's beauty products, toys for my kids, or a 20-pack of beef jerky bags, you know, just in case we need it. As a type A person, I have a passion for making sure everything in my house is taken care of. And there is no better way to keep my family in line than Amazon Prime. It's more than just free or same day delivery, although that's incredible. Do they live in my bushes or what? But it's also along for my journey of parenthood, helping me discover what I need at every stop, keeping everyone happy and well behaved, for the most part. From streaming to shopping, it's on Prime. Visit Amazon.com/Prime to get more out of whatever you're into.
It is Ryan here, and anybody who's been around for a minute is well aware that our world is more connected than it's ever been before. And a big reason for that is how everything we do these days kind of tends to happen in the same place, the internet. If you think about it, your social and business networks, your banking, your entertainment, your healthcare, it's all online. And because of that, when you want to help build up society, you have to make part of that plan improving the internet. In steps AT&T, they've invested quite literally billions of dollars to upgrade the infrastructure that we all rely on in more ways than one. And that includes working with the government and enhancing AT&T 5G so you can stay connected better than ever. It's the kind of action that might go unnoticed if we don't shine a light on it. But those are the improvements that improve everything from your child's education to first responders network to your ability to do business on a network built to last into the next century. AT&T is investing in America's future.
Connecting changes everything. AT&T.
And we've returned, and we've got our Mickey or Minnie, whichever, you know, dealer's choice hats on, and eating some, I don't know, themed ice cream of some sort, perhaps also mouse shaped, and we're seeing that beautiful vista of the Cinderella's castle on the horizon. We're just full of wonder and joy as we walk into Disneyland or world.
Side note, I do fondly recall one of those videos where we did where you, Noel, used the phrase iced creams.
Iced creams. Really yes. I don't know. I think I probably stole just the over enunciation from my buddy Matt Berry. Don't actually know him. Would love to. Huge fan. But Disneyland World, the Magic Kingdom, whichever you prefer, whichever one is more in your neck of the woods, has long been an innovator in theme park technology, let's just say. Early versions of these theme parks, or Disneyland, let's just say, the very first one, have incorporated cutting edge for the time animatronics, some of which the vintage versions have stuck around, like the Country Bear Jamboree. I think they only just recently retired that one, but when I was in Disneyland not too long ago, a couple of years ago, I got to see that, and if I'm not mistaken, it's no longer there. But a lot of fun, a lot of kind of weird, uncanny valley, Chuck E. Cheese-esque, but a little bit, you know, better animatronics. We also, of course, know about the Hall of Presidents, where you can see your favorite presidents personified through robotic forms, including Abraham Lincoln, who gives little, you know, excerpts from his Gettysburg Address. Well, the Walt Disney Company, which, of course, now owns Star Wars, Disney, a ton of
Marvel.
Other... properties as well. Like all of the Pixar stuff, it's all under this umbrella now. You can stream it all on Disney Plus, not an ad. They and their leadership, Bob Iger is the CEO of Disney, are getting criticized pretty hardcore by relatives of the late Walt Disney for their decision to roll out an animatronic exhibit in Anaheim in Disneyland, an experience they call it, the Imagineers, wherein people will be able to hang out with an animatronic representation of Walt Disney himself. The experience was described at the D23 event, which is where Disney kind of rolls out their slates and all of their new theme park stuff last summer, described as being able to experience what it would have been like to be in Walt's presence. However, Walt Disney's granddaughter is super, super not on board with this and says Walt wouldn't have been either. Joanna Miller, in a Facebook post recently in the last couple of days, called the idea of this a robot imposter, and warned that Disney execs were dehumanizing the memory of her grandfather. She goes on to say in her post, "People are not replaceable. You cannot add life to a robot empty of a soul or essence of the man." I think that's fascinating on a couple of fronts, because of course Disney did pioneer animatronics, and they, you know, Walt Disney was all about that, and you know, they've done it with presidents, and every time there's a new president, right. I believe, if I'm not mistaken, they add it to the Hall of Presidents, right?
Well, they get in front of it too, which is why there's one that looks kind of Trumpish, kind of Clintonish.
I think that's right.
But I was asking that exact question off air, and I'm glad you brought it up here. Like, is it not? Could people not see that as somewhat hypocritical? I don't know. I have sensitivity for families of estates. Noel, do we know if this descendant of Walt himself is actively working in the company? Because I think if that was the case, then the conversation would never have gotten this far.
If I'm not mistaken, the entire Disney family is no longer a decision making. I'm not sure if there are other survivors of the Disney line other than this granddaughter, and I apologize, but I think for our purposes here, I do know that there is no decision-making power anymore coming from the Walt Disney family, which is why this is more a point of protest and, you know, bad taste being acknowledged than it is some kind of actionable item. Because Joanna Miller, in her post, asked for people's support in helping convince the company, in all caps, to, you know, scrap plans to do this. Abandon the robot of grandpa, she says. Most importantly, and this is, I think, the kicker here that's very interesting, and to your point, Ben, and what I was bringing up as well. Most importantly, I learned that grandpa told Sam McKim, which I believe must have been an old colleague, perhaps someone who was also once connected to the company, clearly a confidant, that he never wanted to be an animatronic. Marty Sklar, who was an early Imagineer, a founder of this whole kind of division, I think, along with Iwerks, who is also a person who was very close to Disney and invented some very, very important, innovative devices and technologies and processes, all of which you can see, by the way, in the history of, at an incredible place that I probably pitched before on the show, called the Disney Family Museum in San Francisco, that is funded and or operated by the Walt Disney Family Trust. So that is a good example too of where you can see their version of the memory of Walt and his innovations, how that differs from the company line on all of that stuff. It's a really neat place. I do highly recommend you check it out. Marty Sklar taught the Imagineers, she says, he knew grandpa's wishes. So the idea of a robotic grandpa to give the public a feeling of who the living man was, which is the, you know, stated purpose of this exhibit, the idea literally that came from the statement about it at D23, just makes no sense. It would be an imposter. They are dehumanizing him. People are not replaceable. You could never get the casualness of his talking, interacting with the camera, his excitement to show and tell people about what is new at the park, etc. You cannot add life to one, empty of a soul or essence of the man. Knowing that he did not want this, having your predecessors tell you that this was out of bounds, so, so sad and disappointed. It's extra interesting, too, considering that Bob Iger's been mega under fire for some kind of not great decisions that have been made around their reboots of classic animated films that are beloved as these live action kind of, I'm just going to say where I land on it, abominations. I would say that word is appropriate. Some of them are just kind of missing the point of what made the animated films good in the first place. And there's just that uncanny valley-ness of it all, too. And the Snow White rollout has obviously been plagued with catastrophe. It's the biggest bomb of any of these that they've ever put out, if I'm not mistaken. And the star, Rachel Zegler, on the kind of press trail for that, just made some really not great comments about the original version that alienated basically anybody that would have been into the movie, and nobody went and saw it. So this seems like another in a long line of kind of those kind of missteps by the Walt Disney Company and Mr. Bob Iger. What do you guys think, Matt? Any thoughts of the contradictions here maybe? And like the, obviously Disney was a huge innovator of animatronics, but that he himself did not want to be given that treatment.
I wonder if Abraham Lincoln wanted to be an animatronic guy, and like how he would have felt about that. I don't know. I think if you're going to have those things, having the guy that invented it in many ways or the guy that created it become one is actually kind of cool. But nowadays you don't really need that. You could just have an AI generated version of him, right? That uses his previous interviews, and that dude could show you around the park if you wanted to. That's cool, but that would probably be considered horrifying as well. But if that's horrifying for the guy that created this thing that led us down this path, then what are we doing?
Yeah, I hear you on that, Matt. That was my point too. You know, like first, yes, we could argue it's hypocritical, but second, it goes into some very logical considerations. I really appreciate you bringing it up there, because the philosophical aspects we're bringing up here too, it touches on the idea of agency. Like when we talked about that kerfuffle about purported AI George Carlin stuff.
Mm-hmm, exactly. That? Yes, doing the set, right. 100%.
So the question then is, I don't know, it's tough to parse, because the primary issue is you can't ask Walt Disney about it. But to Matt's point, what if we made an AI emulator of Walt Disney with all the data we could collect, and then asked that, right? Asked Walt 2.0.
That's some Black Mirror stuff,
how he felt about it.
That's some Black Mirror stuff.
Yeah, but it's only Black Mirror till it's real. You know what I mean?
I'm with you.
In that question, it's, do you want a body?
Yeah, exactly. And then
I want a body.
Come on, man. How did you really feel about, were you really anti-Semitic?
Oh, geez.
Yeah. Open that bag of worms. But I don't know, man. Like, who can make the call? Does the estate have the rights to Walt Disney's likeness?
I don't believe that's, surely not. You know how lawyered up these companies would get. I mean, I don't think they would have put in the planning and made the announcement if they couldn't legally do it. So I think at this point, it's just a protest thing and calling it tasteless. And then, of course, the Imagineers and the folks at Disney are defending it. It's interesting because when I went to Disney this last time, for the first time in many years, at Epcot, they have this ride called Spaceship Earth, which is like this cool time travel-y space ride that sort of shows you the founding of civilization. Exactly. And in my mind, I was like, I swear there is a Walt Disney animatronic in that, because it was so his thing, but there definitely isn't. And there never has been. And this is that's why this is such a big deal. So I don't know. It's a pickle. I guess.
You know what I think?
Yeah.
What do you think, Matt? I think Disney needs to up their game.
Ooh, I remember what I was going to say. Sorry, Matt. This is interesting, too, because of all the conspiracies around Walt Disney life extension stuff and preserving him and freezing him in the head and all that. This is kind of them trying to do that, keeping him alive in a way, but also his estate, representatives of it are not down with that. I'm so sorry, Matt. I was just trying
to jump. What were you thinking, Matt?
It's a way more realistic version of extending life than freezing some stuff.
We know that was
the technology's just not there.
Yeah, no,
it's just that it's because water expands at a certain tip. I'm not going to do it.
I'm not
going to do it today.
It's a whole thing. What I was going to say is Disney needs to up their game. All of these theme parks are magical wonderlands, right? But my son just got back from Universal, and they had a new one that I didn't even know existed. That's like Epic Universe or something.
That's new, brand new, a day or two old, I swear.
My son got to hang out in Donkey Kong Country, and he was in it.
I'm into that.
Yeah.
Take my money.
There's a Mario Kart.
Dude,
ride?
Are you joking me?
That's awesome.
Oh my God, I'm going. Oh my God, that's my that's stuff, cool. Dude. Oh, that sounds amazing.
There's a Nintendo World, I think, opening up in US pretty soon.
That's what I'm talking about.
I think that's where you are.
That's awesome. It must be it.
Because they own that.
I'm going to the one in Japan later, man.
Because I guess the Mario movie was under Universal. So that makes sense.
All I know is it's crazy cool.
Folks, tell us your favorite and most unusual amusement or theme parks that you have visited. I am a big fan of amusement parks, especially the propagandistic ones in other countries.
In Japan? There's like a yokai themed amusement park, or maybe it's even a whole city.
I've been to the Yokai Tower.
Okay, that must be it. But then I also saw there's a poop themed amusement park that just opened in Japan.
I haven't been there.
It's about the wonders of sanitation. It's like got a message. Yeah.
Well, you got to have something that doesn't just say we're into poop, right?
Yeah.
And sanitation is important. Agreed. A billion people die every year due to lack of potable water. So I get it, but that's a great example there.
It's like the Debbie Downer music plays.
As long as you can add, this is for an important reason at the very end of whatever weird thing you're doing, you can get a pass and you can make an amusement park.
For sure.
God, I want to hear about new and strange amusement parks we haven't visited yet. Gosh, that must be so new. That, what'd you call it? Epic Universe?
Yeah,
it was just ribbon cut like a week or two ago. So your son got very lucky in getting to catch that so early.
Are you serious? Mm-hmm. Well,
100%.
Look, I don't know. He was with his mom and they ended up there and he just told me all about Donkey Kong Land. That sounds incredible.
Also, Switch 2 drop day this week coming out on Friday. New Mario Kart. Mario Kart World. Yeah, nice. It hasn't been a new Mario Kart in over a decade, or at least a decade. So I'm pumped because I'm a big fan.
That's awesome.
Well, geez, guys, we went on about Disney for a lot longer than I thought. I did just want a little tie-in story. David Zaslav, who's also another CEO of entertainment conglomo that's under fire and been under fire.
Who, full disclosure, we have met.
We've met him. That's right. He used to be the CEO of Discovery. No, I'm sorry. Still is Warner Brothers Discovery, and we initially were acquired by Discovery. That was like right when I joined the company. And he is being sort of chastised by the board, the company's executives, who held a symbolic non-binding vote against the executive payout package of $50 million that he's due. So they're saying that he's not doing great at his decision-making, all the debacle around HBO streaming, HBO
or
Go,
HBO Max,
HBO Max,
HBO Go,
HBO
or HBO
Max,
or HBO, or
we don't even
Obish?
Know. It's bad
you know,
branding.
What's next?
It's real bad Pop, dilution kind of stuff.
The back of house,
yep.
Bo.
We've also seen a lot of backlash against some of their prized brands, like the House of the Dragons, the Game of Thrones spinoff, kind of had a little bit of a petering out in its audience because there were not that many episodes that felt like they were cutting corners. So seasons have gotten a lot shorter. And most recently, the second season of The Last of Us has absolutely been lambasted by fans and critics alike. It seems like nobody liked it. And it also seems to be victim of some cuts. So, yeah, they're saying it's not a good idea to do, that they're against it, but it's non-binding, so he's definitely still going to get every dollar of that. So there you go. Gosh, I had a couple other stories. Guinea pigs have been forced to listen to Adele in order to test out how music audio compression affects our brains and our ears, specifically our hearing. Compression is a tool in audio production that basically makes quiet parts loud and loud parts quiet, evening them out. So there's no dynamic range, the AKA difference between the loudest and the quietest parts of the music. And if anybody's a musician or into that, you know that that's where a lot of tension and drama comes from, is having quiet bits and things, you know, opening up. And classical music, for sure, dynamics is a term that's used often. But this is more referring to dynamics in terms of the actual analyzing of the audio waveform. Turns out that when you compress stuff and make it just consistently loud all the time, it doesn't give our brains time to reset and our ears time to rest, and it's bad. So guinea pigs that were subjected to 7 days of Adele's music in compressed and uncompressed form suffered more significant hearing damage when they expose to the compressed form, which if you're into audio stuff and production, it does make sense, but it's interesting that that's being codified now. So
it wasn't nonstop Adele, right?
Like it was, you know,
sleep and stuff, right?
I don't know exactly what kind of rests or breaks they got, but God, that would be really cruel and the kind of thing you'd see in like black sites or whatever, but on poor little guinea pigs who, you know, it's funny. You always hear guinea pigs used to stand in for like test subjects, right? You never really hear guinea pigs being used in this way, or at least I don't. Maybe I don't read enough abstracts of this kind of stuff. But there is a thing that's been raging for about 5 or 6 years, maybe a little more, in music production called the loudness wars. And that has to do with compression, about like making something as loud as you can. The only way you can make something louder is by reducing the peak value, LUFS is what it's called, loudness units over time. And in order to do that, you got to make the quiet parts, the loud parts quiet and the quiet parts loud. So everything's the same. Then you can just make the whole thing bigger, make the whole thing louder. Yep. And it's not good because it reduces dynamics and it reduces the, you know, the differences between loud and quiet, which is so much of what makes music exciting and interesting, I think. So there you go, y'all. Sorry if I went a little long on those interesting talk about the Disney stuff, and look forward to following the the HBO debacle as well. Are we Max again now? Are we HBO Max again now, Ben? Is it actually officially re-rolled out?
What? I believe it's max.com.
There you go. Which is so funny because then we already have Cinemax. And anyway, neither here nor there. Let's take a quick break, hear a word from our sponsor, and then we'll be back with some more strange news.
Go from game time to having a good time with Corona Premier. It's the only lighter than light beer worthy of being called Corona. 90 calories, 2.6 carbs, and an undeniably crisp, refreshing taste that you can't help but share. Because with Corona Premier, the best play happens off the field. Welcome to the Premier side of light, Corona Premier. Drink responsibly. Corona Premier Beer, imported by Crown Imports, Chicago, Illinois. Per 12 fluid ounce serving average analysis. Cal's 90, carbs 2.6 grams, protein 0.7 grams, fat 0.0 grams.
Horsepower, 0 to 60 times. These are among the benchmarks when considering a new vehicle. But Lexus believes there are some things, immeasurable things, that matter more. Awe, exhilaration, joy. How a cabin feels like it was crafted with you in mind. The way an engine note resonates with your soul. Because a car that doesn't make you feel something is a car that stops short of amazing. That's the standard of amazing. Lexus, experience amazing.
Tired of spills and stains on your sofa? Wash away your worries with Anabay. Anabay is the only machine washable sofa inside and out, where designer quality meets budget-friendly prices. That's right, sofas start at just $699. Enjoy a no-risk experience with pet-friendly, stain-resistant, and changeable slip covers made with performance fabric. Experience cloud-like comfort with high-resilience foam that's hypoallergenic and never needs fluffing. The sturdy steel frame ensures longevity, and the modular pieces can be rearranged anytime. Shop washablesofas.com for up to 60% off site-wide, backed by a 30-day satisfaction guarantee. If you're not absolutely in love, send it back for a full refund. No return shipping or restocking fees. Every penny back. Upgrade now at washablesofas.com. Offers are subject to change and certain restrictions may apply.
This is Danielle Fishel from Pod Meets World. What do you think of when you hear Amazon Prime? Delivery trucks outside your home? Your favorite streaming shows? Of course, but there's so much more. Whatever you love, that's what Prime is. Prime helps you get more out of whatever passions you're into, and it helps you discover new ones. There's nothing I find more fun than falling into a rabbit hole of options, whether it's beauty products, toys for my kids, or a 20-pack of beef jerky bags, you know, just in case we need it. As a type A person, I have a passion for making sure everything in my house is taken care of. And there is no better way to keep my family in line than Amazon Prime. It's more than just free or same day delivery, although that's incredible. Do they live in my bushes or what? But it's also along for my journey of parenthood, helping me discover what I need at every stop, keeping everyone happy and well behaved, for the most part. From streaming to shopping, it's on Prime. Visit Amazon.com/Prime to get more out of whatever you're into.
Thank you. And we've returned. We're increasing the dynamics of this episode by going quieter here.
I've got two things I want to start with, guys. Mm-hmm. This is a bit of the downer part of the episode, so apologies. Okay. We'll have some ups and downs in dynamics as well.
Yep.
But first of all, I just want to say we were really saddened. A lot of folks on my team and you guys probably as well, because Ben, I know you had a little direct, I don't know if you had direct contact with this actor, but he worked on a show that you also worked on.
Yes.
Jonathan Joss, who was the voice of John Redcorn, King of the Hill. He was a voice of, I think Chief Ken was the character's name on Parks and Rec. Bunch of other stuff that this actor has done. He unfortunately...
And a tremendous person as well.
Yeah.
Which is way more important than like celebrity status. Like an actual, genuine, good dude.
Yeah. Really cool person that we got to work with personally and, you know, be on Zoom calls where he's recording audio for a show that we made called Bridgewater. And he's just a really great human being.
I didn't know that. I didn't know that you guys were. That's oh my gosh.
Yeah, it was just really sad. When we recorded with him, I specifically remember the studio he was in at his house. He had, I don't even know, I didn't count how many awesome lights he had in the background, but they were all those like multicolored lights that did different things.
Nice.
It looked like a party at his house. Mm-hmm. And it was just a really cool vibe. Just very saddened that guy's passing.
Well, and just the hatred behind the crime. I mean, it just seemed like it was a targeted act of absolute homophobia and xenophobia and like just a absolute like a campaign of terror against this man.
And I did not agree with the way a lot of the initial reporting went, especially because they're missing those parts about hate crimes and harassment and prejudice. And we have to remember, you know, whenever you hear stories like this, it's different because we were personally connected with an actual human being, right? Mm-hmm. When you hear these stories, the ephemera that wants you to always just like clock into the most vicious sounding thing and then to deify celebrities who are just people, just treat celebrities like people. It's sick how this country is always asking people to deify or vilify folks, you know. That's why I get tired of celebrity news, because it's unfair to the subject, it's unfair to the audience. But this was a really genuinely good dude, and the manner of the harassment and the crimes against him, I think it needs to be further acknowledged because it's just unclean.
Agreed. Yeah, I think it's trigger warning on, I mean, honestly, some of the stuff that we're talking about, like harm to animals and things. Like, I mean, really, really brutal, right. Despicable. And there is a person in custody, if I'm not mistaken. I just was floored by the headlines. I did not even get that far.
And even though on a sad note, I think we can find positivity in here, Matt. I really appreciate you bringing up and focusing on the fact that this human being was, again, a tremendous, genuine, and phenomenally talented person. And I don't want us to lose sight about that in this crazy, just stupid rush people have about celebrities. You know?
Well, yeah. My big takeaway is just the positivity he brought to, again, I only interacted with him virtually over one of these that we're doing right now, but just the positivity that shone through, you know, his camera and audio, you're like, oh, dang, that is cool person. Mm-hmm. So that's
the
all.
Lights just, were sick too, right?
Oh yeah. Well, I mean, again, like it was part of that whole.
That's a personality thing, right? It's like it's a dude that it's wanted to be surrounded by quirky fun. Yes. You know, like, I mean, come on.
And he was so happy to be doing voice work, and you're just like, yes, it is a cool job. Awesome, man. Let's do this. So anyway, let's Jonathan. We'll remember. And we'll think more about that. We'll talk more about it if we need to. But for now, let's just, one other thing I wanted to bring up here. Ben, you were talking about those moments in history, like Franz Ferdinand, that will be looked back at historians, but maybe not everybody in the present moment fully clocks the significance of.
Will be seen as a tipping point in retrospect.
Exactly. I just wanted to point out this thing that happened yesterday as we record on Tuesday, June 3rd. There was there's the ongoing war between Russia and Ukraine right now. And a lot of there's so many news stories happening in cycles about everything that's happening there and so many developments, so many fronts, so many things happening that's hard to even really see specific instances anymore, at least for me, as somebody who's attempting to observe the whole thing. There's a moment that occurred on June 3rd where Ukraine forces used explosives over several months, like planted explosives on a specific bridge that is a strategic connection point from Russia into Crimea, which is an area that the country had previously annexed and, you know, fought a war over. But just the fact that these strategic points of access for like bringing in more troops, bringing in, you know, more supplies, anything like that are being targeted, it feels like the kind of escalation, you know, not only the stuff where there have been attacks like deep within Russia from the Ukraine side, where a lot of the people allied with Ukraine are sending longer range missiles and things now.
Those 41 planes got absolutely walloped. Yeah.
Yeah. There's just stuff happening right now in that situation. There feels like, to me, it's going to be the stuff that's written about as, oh, and then on this day, this happened, which then triggered this other thing, which then caused, you know, full scale, whatever.
As long as there's someone around to write about it later.
Yeah, that's the hope. That's the hope.
Otherwise, in a world bereft of humans, it's just going to be the descendants of ChatGPT rewriting their own interpretations of what was posted, you know what I mean, on social media about Russia and Ukraine time the humans were around.
Yeah, the time the humans were doing stuff. Speaking of humans doing stuff.
Oh, wow.
Let's switch gears again.
Yeah.
And let's jump to a story. I think we talked about it on Listener Mail. No, I think it was a story you brought up, but I can't remember, guys. It was this weird crypto case where there was some kidnapping going on.
Oh, yeah, yeah, yeah. The torture. Yeah. And like using electrodes and all kinds of horrible pistol whipping. Really, really awful stuff.
Yes.
Eric Adams, number one New York City mayor.
Yeah, right? Very weird.
He's better than the mayor in Ghostbusters, you guys. He's great for Turkey. He's huge there.
So, so let's just refresh everyone on the story. These two guys, John Woeltz, W-O-E-L-T-Z, and William Duplessis. These are two gentlemen who are currently under investigation and charged with holding this 28-year-old wealthy Italian cryptocurrency trader hostage for several weeks. And the concept, at least according to authorities, is that those guys, John and William, were attempting to get this person's Bitcoin password. And there was torture involved, all kinds of stuff, according to the findings and the evidence in the place where these two gentlemen were keeping this guy captive. There is a weird little wrinkle in a little tiny news story that came out. And as you said, Ben, you said the key word there, New York City Mayor Eric Adams. That's the key word, the reason why it's even newsworthy. There's a gentleman who was a part of Eric Adams' security detail who allegedly is the human being that picked up this guy that got captured, was held hostage. He picked him up from the airport and took him to the place where he was held captive.
No, I have not heard this.
Yes, but he was off duty at the time, at least according, you know, he wasn't on his Eric Adams detail.
Sure, it's a gig economy.
You know what I mean? But that's the thing. It actually is a gig economy. And if you work security and you've got somebody who's wealthy, who was paying you to do stuff, being a chauffeur from the airport isn't a big deal. And it may even not mean anything. And he literally just dropped a guy off that he thought was a guest of his employer.
Right.
But it sure is weird to have those two worlds collide right there.
I don't know. It's going to be interesting to hear more about that news, because it's funny. I was thinking about this earlier, Matt. There's this confluence of the average person being able to learn more, right, at a faster pace, a more shallow pace, but at definitely a faster pace than ever before. And then the question becomes, are we seeing more connections that have already existed? Are we discovering new connections, or has the entire world of the powerful also always been kind of like this? And now, you know, like, they're not extra skeletons in the closet. I'm pointing at a closet. They're not extra skeletons in the closet. They're just better flashlights now. You know what I mean? And I think the flashlight answer is correct.
Mm-hmm. Yeah. Phones even have a flashlight built in. It's crazy.
Dude, right? And they're also, it feels like there are more ways to reflect. Oh, I'm just joking. I was going to do a thing because I'm great, sitting behind
he's got this great mirror set up. Y'all. Yeah, it's great. It's great.
Oh. Yeah. I think we might be getting into some more videos soon, but I wish you could see. You're going to have to go on vacation again to that same exact resort.
No, I'm just going to build one of these.
There you go.
Build one.
Build a Tesseract. Yeah.
What are the mirror tariffs right now? I haven't looked that up.
Wait, isn't that a thing in like esoteric thought that if you put two mirrors facing each other, you could create a portal of some sort?
Yeah. Well, feng shui doesn't like it either.
Yeah. Bad times.
Yeah. It's basically a Ouija board for the wall.
Amazing. Well, let's build podcasting Ouija boards and see what happens.
Oh, man. Okay. I have so many other Eric Adams questions for off air.
Okay.
Okay. So again, what we're saying is interesting confluence. Does it tell us anything other than, interesting.
There's nothing other than it's strange and it's news. So guess what? Mm. It's in this episode.
There we go. It's in our strange news segment.
But last little thing I want to talk about today. Guys, you remember that Jeffrey Epstein guy?
Oh, yeah. It's been a minute.
Is this a court of law?
It's a kangaroo court. That's what it is.
There are two recent interviews that occurred on Fox News where two very important, influential, powerful human beings went on and gave separate interviews. And one of the topics that came up in both of those interviews was Jeffrey Epstein. And I just want to jump to this is all to get this quote out on the air again, because I think it's fascinating that it's still a question. People are still interested. And then even the forces, the powerful people that maybe believed or represent in some way the faction of people, including me a little bit, who believe that Jeffrey Epstein didn't just kill himself, that there was something else to that, whether it was coercion or, you know, something occurred there to me.
Sure.
For me personally, right? And that's belief.
I would say the majority of the U.S. public agrees.
Right there,
I certainly do.
100%. I think so too. But for me, I just have to say it out loud. Like when I'm talking about this, it is my belief. It's not based on evidence, right? It's based on looking at things and feeling a certain way about it personally. But even somebody like, how do you say his name? Dan Bongino. Let's say Dan Bongino. This is the current deputy director. He went on Fox News, gave an interview, and they're discussing Jeffrey Epstein's death. And Dan talks about the surveillance video that is allegedly running there of the cell, like right outside the cell that we talked about ages ago when all of this went down. And Dan says that there is absolutely zero forensic evidence that suggests that any other human being was in that cell at any time between the last time he was seen by the authorities and then when he was found deceased. And here's the quote. Quote, there's no DNA. There's no audio. There's no fingerprints. There's no suspects. There's no accomplices. There's no tips. There is nothing. And then he said, if you have evidence, I am happy to see it. The video is clear as day. He's the only person in there and the only person coming out. You can see it. And, you know, to me, Dan is one of these people who's previously has talked about, like, I don't know, this seems fishy. This seems like something really went down. And then he's actually finding himself in a place where he can truly investigate, right? Which not many of us are going to get to that position where you can really see all the stuff. You could say, give me everything you got on Epstein. And he is saying, look, there's nothing there. If you got some more information, send it my way because I want to know. It does feel a little bit like we can put the concept that he got physically murdered to bed, but that it to me leaves open that whole thing with, did somebody have a conversation with him or his attorney or somebody that basically got to him that gave him no choice?
Yeah, right, right. I mean, the hyoid bone breaking is basic physiology at that point. The question that you're asking is, I believe, the more astute question in our three-part series on Epstein and then our later follow-ups. I think it's a question that we had to incorporate in the conversation because of the fact that, yes, there are suspicious circumstances. Yes, there was a fog of war. There was not enough information to draw a conclusive perspective on. However, I love the point you're making, Matt, about the deputy director be the guy who could probably get all the evidence, maybe, but it's still, there's so much just...
Well, there is.
It stinks, man. Something's rotten in the lockup.
But then you've also got Kash Patel, the actual facts, shout out, FBI director, coming out and saying, hey, yeah, we're actively working on this still.
Yeah, and he's super qualified.
Well, but, plus, his name is Kash, and that's a sweet-ass name.
Whatever the qualifications, the people in the positions to do the looking are there, and they want to do the looking, and they are doing the looking. So I'm interested to see if anything else comes out.
Same, especially given the administration's foot dragging of releasing connections or releasing, you know, the so-called little black book information. Even if it, you know, let's play a game theory for a moment. If there's nothing bad, if it does indeed support and prove the existing mainstream narrative and at the same time disprove multiple points of speculation and conspiracy theory, then why wouldn't you release it post-haste? Why wouldn't you come out? Like, if you're not really committing agro-terrorism, why wouldn't you tell the FBI immediately? You know, why would you try to lie? That's a teaser for something that'll happen later this week.
You might not say anything if you're the acting president, and you, I'm just joking.
Right, I'm just joking.
Or, you know, the Prince of England or whatever. I don't know. Whatever.
Oh, God. Yeah. Never get it. You know.
Isn't that crazy?
He doesn't sweat, is what he said.
The president of the United States and a Prince of England, both implicated, the same guy.
Yeah, but not like the main prince.
Yeah. Well,
like a deputy prince.
Deputy prince. Anyway, we'll learn more about that.
Mm-hmm.
One last thing to ruin your week just a little bit. If you've got time, head on over to theguardian.com/environment/series/The Age of Extinction. It's a whole thing that The Guardian has, a whole series about the age of extinction we all find ourselves in right now.
Yeah, it reminds me, Matt, of those many years ago when we were looking into neonicotinoid effects on honeybee populations, which hadn't been proven at that time. And then also we started talking about insect population collapse thanks to the help of several academics and fellow conspiracy realists in the crowd. The thing about these stories, which I'm sure have to irritate so many scientists, is that it has been shouted from the proverbial rooftops and the treetop canopies for so long. It's happening. And it's so easy for people to say, well, it's not happening to me directly, or it's not affecting me directly. Therefore, it's not really happening. But it's coming to your door soon, you know, faster than dominoes.
Oh, it is. And it's genuinely, truly terrifying. It's existential threat level stuff. If you look at the subtitle of The Guardian's Age of Extinction series, it says, reporting on our catastrophic species loss and ways to tackle the biodiversity crisis, which is nice. They've got that in the end, right? It's the thing we always try and do. What's the positive thing? What's the action? What's the good stuff? Problem is, we're in a catastrophic species loss situation, and there is a story you can read right now, and I wish you would. Again, not going to be great for your psyche, but will be good for you to know and to think about. It is titled, Half the Tree of Life, Ecologists' Horror as Nature Reserves Are Emptied of Insects. And it's specifically going on a couple of different entomologist paths. It follows them. One particular guy who studied basically moths and all kinds of insects and a bunch of different species out in Costa Rica. And this, it's a beautiful story about when he was brutally injured and he put up sheets around his bed where he was confined out in the wilderness and would turn a light on inside those sheets, right? And the number of moths, the hundreds and hundreds and hundreds of moths that would gather on his sheet at night, and he would study them. And then doing the same thing today, you know, several decades later, and there are a few moths in all of the wilderness that show up on that sheet, which should be like, it should be every moth within a certain vicinity.
Right. Especially, you know, depending on the environmental circumstances. But the frightening thing here, and I think any of us who have just me personally spending like a lot of time in the wild, you need to realize this is not a nature reserve. These are in areas of the wild where human encroachment is purposefully limited.
Yes.
And that also, like any of us who do enjoy being outdoors, if you are past a certain age, you have noticed a steep decline in a lot of wildlife, right? And it's frightening. It's apolitical. It's real. It's happening. Please also, since we talked about positive note, I do have one thing to add. There's a popular science article that gives us maybe some other news about insects. Researchers have recently genetically altered fruit flies so that they crave cocaine.
Oh, geez. That's what we need. Coked up fruit flies.
Yeah, right? The time has come. Yeah. Earth is changing.
This guy's got a lot of fruit flies in his apartment.
Right. That's his sheet that he hangs over for the moths. That's how they'll bust folks in the future.
Like a moth to a cocaine.
That's actually a really good idea for law enforcement,
that's
isn't
terrifying.
It? You got a fruit fly swarm gun? Step aside, super soakers.
Oh, God.
Geez. Okay, wait. I thought it was a funny point, and then we made it a terrified real one.
It's all Black Mirror now, all the way down. So
all the way down.
And that's all I've got, guys. Mm.
Folks, thank you so much for joining us. We hope this strange news segment has found you well. We cannot wait to hear your thoughts. Is a mass surveillance database good? What's your position on nature and coming collapses and apocalypses? And I'm doing that on purpose because I'm still learning English. Tell us your thoughts on Disney. And of course, tell us your favorite weird amusement parks. We cannot wait to hear from you. You can give us a call on the phone. You can always send us a good old-fashioned email, or you can message us on social media so Palantir gets a better read on all of us. I'm kidding. They have the emails too, I imagine.
So if you'd like, you can find us all over the internet at your social media platform of choice. We are Conspiracy Stuff on YouTube, which is kind of a social media platform, more of a streaming thing. I don't even know what it is. It's comments. You can't comment on Netflix. You can find us at Conspiracy Stuff on that, as well as on Facebook. We have our Facebook group, Here's Where It Gets Crazy, and on XFKA Twitter. On Instagram and TikTok, we're Conspiracy Stuff Show.
On the phone lines, we are 1-833-STDWYTK. When you call in, you will find yourself inside a voicemail. You have 3 minutes to be in that voicemail. Give yourself a cool nickname in there and let us know whether or not we can use your name and message on the air. If you'd like to instead send us words, why not send us a good old-fashioned email? We are
the entities that read each piece of correspondence we receive. Hundreds of prisoners have escaped after an earthquake in Pakistan. Be well aware, yet unafraid, sometimes the void writes back. Conspiracy at iHeartRadio.com.
Stuff They Don't Want You to Know is a production of iHeartRadio. For more podcasts from iHeartRadio, visit the iHeartRadio app, Apple Podcasts, or wherever you listen to your favorite shows.
Horsepower, 0 to 60 times. These are among the benchmarks when considering a new vehicle. But Lexus believes there are some things, immeasurable things, that matter more. Awe, exhilaration, joy. How a cabin feels like it was crafted with you in mind. The way an engine note resonates with your soul. Because a car that doesn't make you feel something is a car that stops short of amazing. That's the standard of amazing. Lexus. Experience amazing.
CheapoAir.com.
CheapoAir.com?
CheapoAir.com.
Great getaways begin with, and great getaway deals begin at CheapoAir.com. Compare flights and prices from over 500 airlines worldwide, and find your best option to get from where you are to where you want to be this summer. And need any help at any time?
Hi, how can I help?
Travel specialists answer the phone 24/7. Book today for our best deals on summer travel at CheapoAir.com.
CheapoAir.com.
Are you obsessed with true crime? Then you're going to love True Crime Tonight. I'm Bonnie Movin.
I'm Courtney Armstrong.
And I'm Stephanie Leidecker. We've all worked together for years, and now we're trying something brand new.
We're unpacking all the latest true crime headlines.
We'll be covering all the major trials that are heating up this summer.
And yes, we'll also be covering scandals that we're all obsessed with.
He pulls out of his backpack syringes.
What?
Wow. It's completely bizarre.
Listen to True Crime Tonight on the iHeartRadio app, Apple Podcasts, or wherever you get your podcasts. You can get True Crime Tonight completely ad-free. That's with an iHeart True Crime Plus subscription available exclusively on Apple Podcasts. So open your Apple Podcasts app, search for iHeart True Crime Plus, and subscribe today.
Packages by Expedia. You were made to be rechargeable. We were made to package flights, hotels, and hammocks for less. Expedia. Made to travel.
This is an iHeart podcast.